Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior, whom we worship this holy day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, John chapter 1, the great confession and witness of John the Baptist. Let's pray. Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet, a great light for our path. May it ever shine brightly on the church. We ask that it shine brightly now as we hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, fill in the blank. Go tell it on the over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. During Advent and as we get into Christmas, there is always the great call to the church, to the baptized, to those that follow Christ. Go and tell now. Go and tell. Tell it on the mountain. Go tell it everywhere. That he's born, that he died, that he rose, and how wonderful to have the kids tell us that again this morning, and they will later in the afternoon here in their program. Go tell it on the mountain. The angels did that. The shepherds did that. I'm sure Joseph and Mary told. And today we hear about the first one in the New Testament who told, and that's John the Baptist. And he didn't tell it on the mountain. He told it in the desert. But what a great witness John the Baptist was to our Lord. And it caught my attention that the first word used for John the Baptist is a witness. Three times you have the word witness. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You know, witnessing is a kind of key topic in the church these days. How can we all, as baptized Christians, be an effective, good, faithful witness to Christ in this troubled, evil world of ours? Well, John the Baptist is a great example. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's the first one we really read about. He's the first example of a Christian witness. He's a role model of what it means to be a witness. How so? Three things that John does as a witness. He denies, he cries, and he dies. And this is John the Baptist. And it's hard to go through an Advent without talking some about John the Baptist. He's a heavy figure in Advent. And then he points us to Jesus in the manger, and then we leave John the Baptist. You want to be a witness? Deny, cry, and die. That's a witness empowered by God's Spirit. First of all, John, obviously, from the text, he denies himself. John doesn't focus on himself. John doesn't want to talk about himself. John is not out to promote himself. He's not out for the spotlight. He's not out for glory. We are given insight into a little conversation that John has with the religious leaders who come out and ask, "Who are you, John? You're out here baptizing and preaching. Just who are you?" And it's quite intriguing, if not a little bit funny, how short and simple it is. They ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Pretty simple. What then? Are you Elijah? I'm not. Are you the prophet? No. Short and simple from John the Baptist. In other words, don't focus on me, fellas. Don't think about me. Don't worry about me. It's not about me. I'm not here to talk about me. Look to the one to come, the one who's among you you don't know, the one whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, meaning he's God. He's greater, the one coming, than Moses, who took off his sandals in the presence of God. And so did Joshua. He took off his sandals in the presence of God. This one doesn't have to take off his sandals because he is God. Look to him. Focus on him. It's all about him, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. A witness denies himself, he or she is humble. They're not about themselves and self-promotion. You know, there are many reasons why we may not go out and confess Christ to our neighbor or our co-worker. One big reason is fear. "Well, Pastor, I don't know what to say." Well, it's time to learn what to say. You're a Christian after all, or are you? They might ask me a question I don't know how to answer. Well, that's okay. They can come and learn. We don't have to know the answer to every question. No one does. Or I might be ridiculed or laughed at. I might lose my job. I might be ostracized from my friends because I'm a Christian. Well, who are you for, Christ or your friends? But I think another reason why we sometimes don't speak of Christ is that we're too busy speaking about ourselves. It is the big me generation. It always has been. We're so busy talking about I, my job, my family, my kids, my hobbies, my money, my sports teams, all about me. Let me tell you about me. And we're so busy talking about ourselves, we never get around to talking about Jesus. And on top of that, when we talk a lot about ourselves, the person we're talking to is bored stiff because we're really not that interesting to people to begin with, and then they don't want to talk to us again. You're spending your Advent talking about yourself and your dear little children. Not that these are horrible topics, they're not, but do we ever get around talking about Jesus or just about me? And the spotlight and the attention's all about me and my children and my job and blah, 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 blah. Bored! You're not all that great, neither am I. John will have none of it. He points to Jesus. Not here to talk about me, go to Jesus. The one whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. You know what percentage of people re-gift at Christmas? I read a statistic, 27% of people will re-gift. Now, don't be looking down and get a red face now. I have a hunch, though, there's 100% of us that re-gift all the time, and not just at Christmas time. What do we re-gift? We re-gift ourselves because we love ourselves so much. Let me tell you about me. And let me tell you about me. Oh, did you hear about me? Let me tell you about me. And we re-gift ourselves over and over again, and it's quite pathetic. Re-gift Jesus. He's the gift that keeps on going. And you can re-gift Jesus and still have Jesus. So re-gift and re-gift and re-gift Jesus. He's the gift that keeps on giving. It's called denying myself and being a humble servant of Christ. One is among me and in me that's much greater than I, and his name is Jesus. I can't save a soul. He can save the whole world. So who am I going to talk about to people? Secondly, John as a witness cries. He does a lot of crying. John finally says a few words about himself from the Old Testament so they know who he is. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. A witness cries and cries and cries. Now, that doesn't literally mean that John shed tears, although he probably did shed some tears, that he just weeped the entire time. To cry means he pleads. John pleads with people. He urges people. If you will, he begs people. That's crying. Repent, people. Confess your sins. Realize your sin and that you can't take it away. Repent and turn to Christ and be baptized. Follow Christ. Trust in Christ. He is God. He will die for your sins. He's the once and for all sacrifice. He's the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. He will rise again. He will deliver you. He will save you. John is pleading, crying, urging people. That's his ministry. And this is a witness. A witness doesn't just try one time. Well, I told my friend about Jesus and they didn't want to come to church, so I kind of gave up. What kind of witness is that? We stay on people in love. Love is the motivation. And in love and compassion for the lost, we keep on people, even if you will, to be a little bit of a nuisance. I'm sure John was a bit of a nuisance, but it's about heaven and hell. We want you saved, friends. So I'm going to be a little bit of a nuisance. Repent, be baptized, come to church, learn of Christ, and follow Christ, and trust in Christ. He's my Savior. I want him to be your Savior too, for he died for the sins of the whole world. So we cry and urge and plead every day with the lost. We never give up. And that is the Christian witness. We are not here to sit here today and look at the world and say, and look down on the world. Oh, those dirty, rotten sinners out there, they're not in church. I'm so much better. That's Phariseeism. We're no better than anybody. We are sinners begging for the grace of God, and we're so joyous that he gives it to us today in word and sacrament. We don't stay away from the world. I'll stay away and be in my own little Christian cult here, my own little Christian clique, and stay away from the big bad world. John didn't stay away from people. He preached to people and cried to people. went to prison for it. We don't point fingers at people. Oh, you're so bad and you're so wicked. We don't laugh and ridicule the world. Look at all those foolish people out there. No, in here, because of a heart of love given by God, we love the world. We love because God so loves us. We're compelled by the love of God to reach the lost. Because God loved me, a poor, miserable sinner, and still loves me, a poor, miserable sinner. We care because God cares. We have mercy on all because God has mercy on all. We are compassionate to all people because God is compassionate to all people. It is the love and compassion of God that moves the church, that compels the church to cry and beg and plead, "World, be saved and be reconciled to God now, please." You know, listening to sports radio this week a little bit, some people on the radio were crying and complaining, not in compassion, but in complaint. What were they crying about? Butch Jones's raise. You heard our football coach got a raise from $3 million, I know he wasn't making much money to begin with, was he? To $3.6 million, a 20% raise, and he won half his games. I think he's a fine coach. I hope he's a good guy. I don't know. But really, in an age where not a lot of people get raises, 20% raise for a football coach who wins half his games. And so people are crying and complaining, oh, the greed. One person called it idolatry of money, and I said, amen to that. Yes, we can cry and complain about all the evils of the world and the greed. I agree. And the love of sport and pleasure, a great idol in our world. I agree. But don't stop there, Christian. We cry in compassion at the poor and the lowly, the guilt-ridden and the sad, the suffering and the dying that don't know Jesus. That's a witness. We never get up. We plead, beg, and cry. And then finally, John dies. I suggest his greatest witness is to die for Jesus. We know how it ends up for John. He's put in prison by Herod for preaching. And then, of course, he is beheaded with a little game with Herod and his wife and her daughter. Beheaded. He dies for his Lord. And this reminds us that to be a faithful witness for Christ, yes, it involves confessing Christ. It's very, very important. Yes, it involves daily loving and pleading and having mercy on my mirror. Very, very important. It's my life as a Christian. And yes, to be a witness can mean I have a nativity scene tonight. It's a good thing to do. Wonderful. Have the kids say their parts. Wonderful. But perhaps to be the greatest witness for Jesus means this: to die for him. Perhaps our greatest witness is to suffer everything. In the midst of heavy suffering, be it persecution, prison, disease, cancer, death, pain, agony, in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that dying, I confess Christ by the power of His Spirit. I'll hold on to Christ. I believe in Christ. He's my rock. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the light of the world. He's the resurrection of life. When we're suffering terribly in trial and tribulation and dying and everything's against us, then to persevere in the faith, to hold on to Christ, to hold on to the sacrament, to hold on to the gospel, to worship Him and praise Him, that's a witness that no one will forget. When life is easy, people don't care about your witness a whole lot because life is easy for you. Of course they believe. They're like Job. Look at how God blessed them. It's easy for them to believe. But when we're like John and we suffer, and it makes no sense, and we're struck with great sadness, trial, whatever it is, I feel like I'm in prison, and we confess Christ and hold on to Christ, then, friend, people see what we're made of. Don't see suffering as an obstacle. See suffering as an opportunity to bear witness to Jesus, that the light of His love show through me. For when I am weak, He is strong. Use me, Jesus. We don't ask for suffering. We don't like it. But Lord, use it that I be a witness to you like John. He didn't like prison. He didn't like his head being cut off. But now he's in glory. And what a witness he leaves us, as well as many other martyrs and those that suffered. Hold on to the faith. Suffering shows people what we're made of. If you're made of Christ, it'll show. If you're not, it'll show. Illustration. Think of a gift at Christmas. When do you really pay attention to a gift? When it's wrapped or unwrapped? When it's unwrapped. When it's wrapped up in the paper under the tree, you, oh, what is it? Well, I don't know. You kind of don't pay a lot of attention. It's wrapped up after all. But when someone rips open the wrapping paper and they rip it open, and if the wrapping paper could talk, it would say, ouch, I don't like that. When it's ripped open, though, ah, there's the gift. Wrapping paper be gone, there's the gift. Christ is the treasure. He is the gift in us. We're baptized. Christ is with us and in us. By faith we have Christ. And our flesh, if you will, our lives is the wrapping paper. And sometimes people don't see Christ until the wrapping paper is ripped off. And that's suffering. And that can be death, where the wrapping paper is ripped off. And what's the purpose in all? That people might see the gift that Jesus lives in me. His glory is in me. His forgiveness in me. His love in me. I'm all about Jesus. And it hurts to suffer. It hurts. We don't like it. And yet God uses us as a witness. A great witness. Look at how they love Jesus. And look at the Jesus who is with them and in them and how they hold on to him. Look at the gift, Jesus. And then it'll all be over and there'll be heaven. Life expectancy now in America is the highest it's ever been. 78.8 we live to be. I'll be happy with 68.8, Pat. Maybe 58.8, I don't know. 78 years, 79 years we live, that's a bunch of baloney for the Christian. Our life expectancy is not 78.8. Our life expectancy as Christians is forever. Though we die, we live. Though John died, he lives. And our life expectancy with Christ is forever in glory, in heaven, in paradise. And that sure shrinks the prison time and the suffering. And I'll be a witness. John the Baptist, John the prophet, John the forerunner, the one who prepared the way today, John, a good example of a witness who told it in the desert. Want to be a witness? Deny yourself. Cry to the world to believe and die for your Savior. May the Spirit grant it. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.